So that way we'll go ahead with the meeting, but that way anybody can grab a piece probably whenever they want. They don't have to wait till later. Right? Okay. I'd like to call to order the regular session of the Villa Mayor Council for January 13th, 2020. And it's been our tradition here for many, many years. I'd like to invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please join all of us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sorry, I just realized I forgot to turn the screen on. Knock out.
Okay. Our first item on tonight's agenda is the approval of the regular session minutes of December 9th.
Mr. Mayor, I have one change.
Sure.
I received a phone call from Mr. Hoppe on page 303, number 7. It was in reference to his comment about the snow machine, but we have it labeled as a snow plow. So whatever that machine actually is, I don't think it's a snow plow.
Okay, machine.
Okay. Thank you. That's my only change. With that, I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Tindall to approve the minutes with one word change of snow plow to snow machine. All in favor of the approval of the agenda, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Let the record show that vote is 4-0 and the Councilmember Pinnell is absent. Okay. Next, item 2 on the agenda is consideration of a motion to approve the purchase and financing request for 2 additional EDUs or equivalent dwelling units at 305 Washington Street.
And Dwayne Maddy is here. Mr. Maddy, if you'd come up front.
Yeah, Frank, come right on up. Make yourself known.
Dwayne Maddy. Address?
Yes.
10441 Racetrack Road, Berlin, Maryland.
Thank you. All righty, so it's good.
I'll do the man.
Discussion. Okay.
Mr. Maddy approached us about 2 weeks ago and has a desire to, he needs 2 additional EDUs over on 305 Washington Street. What he's doing with that property is going to redo it up top. It's going to be apartments, and down below are going to be storage units.
Yes.
So Jamie Latcham and Dave Englehart have determined the number of EDUs. Mr. Maddy had heard or was told that there is a provision that he could request to finance 2 EDUs. I can tell the mayor and council that he is current on all tax, anything and everything that his organization has with the town, so he is current. His deposit, the 10% deposit for the EDUs, has been received as well.
And from what I think I know by the address, this is the building immediately behind the ice plant?
It's right to the right side of it.
It's to the right side.
Yeah, it's the existing Bromwell fertilizer plant.
Okay.
It's the blue building, the very first one in the row.
Okay, great. So basically this would be the conversion of that neighborhood to some upstairs apartments,
mm-hmm.
which is ironic is how the downtown developed, where we had retail stores mm-hmm. over 100 years ago downstairs, down on the yep. first floor, and apartments on the second. So it's just, to me, continuing a long time evolution and tradition.
Yep.
Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Maddy?
No, I'll make the motion that we go ahead and we approve this
as presented this evening for the financing of the ZDUs, his additional ZDUs.
We have a motion by Council Member Guias to approve the purchase and financing of two equivalent dwelling units at 305 Washington Street. The amount that is being financed is a total of $30,034.80. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed?
Okay. Great, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Excellent.
Thank
you. And we are following the meeting.
Good luck with your project.
Yeah, thank you.
Take a piece of cake.
Following the meeting, Mary, I have the EDU, our water and sewer allocation agreement that you signed. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Number three on your agenda is the introduction of an ordinance amending basic housekeeping on our solid waste basic ordinance. And public hearing will be held at our next regular council meeting on the 27th. And Jeff,
I'm going to defer to Mary.
Okay. The copy that was in your packet, as well as the public packet, contains. Well, I'm going to back up first. We did introduce this back in November, I believe, and it did have a 2019 number on it. However, because more than 60 days have passed since that introduction, we have to reintroduce it as if it's a completely new ordinance. The time frame has expired on that. So within the ordinance that's presented here, there are no changes from what was presented back in November. There are comments in the margins explaining what the various changes entail. Primarily housekeeping, getting practice and code to agree. The only items that are potential changes are to give the Public Works Director a little more authority to make the on-the-ground decisions that occasionally need to be made about the nature of what has been put out for collection.
Okay, so and the actuality is just updating the ordinance, but it's not changing the substance of what we've been doing.
Right. It's not changing the way that trash or any other solid waste will be collected or handled. It's just clarifying a number of items.
Does anyone have any questions for Mary? Do we have a motion to... It's next meeting.
The public hearing, right, will be the 27th.
Okay, so good. So all the details are in your little packet there. Take that up at the next meeting. Next is a discussion regarding the reopening of Karen Park. And basically, so you know, the birding activities there start in the winter, but they get into full-fledged activities in March and April. And what we are not going to decide tonight, but consider is it's been recommended that there are ways in which we can reopen the park safely. Using caution tape and things that someone has to go out of the way to even encounter any of the rocks and stone and metal that still remains out there. And then we would be, our job as the mayor and council would be to determine what can be cleaned up in what order in the spring, where maybe we can get at least 85% to 90% of the cleanup done before the warm weather months actually occur. We really haven't discussed it in months, but it's now that the time of use of the park is starting to come upon us, I think it's time to have those discussions again.
And I want to say one thing, because I've heard it walking it downtown, and people have asked me. I want it clear that there are no known chemicals on site. None. So there's none there. To the mayor's point, there are actually five areas down there. If you've been in there in the last year, You know what I'm talking about. When you enter the park, I'm talking about going back beyond the building on the left. But if you go back to where the water is, when you enter that property, there's a little pad on the left where the building was demolished, but the base is still there. If you go a little bit further, there was that big concrete clarifier. The base is still there. If you go up on the berm and go to the right, go toward AGH, there was a building that was there. The base is still there. And then if you go down beyond the first pond, there's still a partial building that's standing, but it's actually over top of the water. So all of those areas have been cordoned off. I mean, they're not 6-foot fences and all that good stuff, but they've been cordoned off, and there is signage there that says keep out. So some of that cleanup, we'll discuss it at another point, but I will say again, I don't see where you've got a great liability based off what's there. I just don't.
And it would providing proposals and costs for what could be done to first continue the cleanup, and then the second is the what needs to be done to secure those areas.
Yes.
That, you know, with the large amount of dirt that the town deposited, and it was one of the benefits of the Graham Avenue Submerged Wetlands Project, that is like a mini mountain, and what will happen is once everything's cleaned up, then in any areas where there's any depressions or any residue of loose stone or anything like that, will just cover it over and then be seeded with grass. So that's, again, just waiting for the final work to be done, and then that can all be done in-house as well.
Correct.
Okay.
I have a couple questions. Are there any of the cleanup projects that can be done in-house? As far as I noticed, I went out and walked it over the weekend, that some of it was like a lumber and things that almost appeared, I mean, to my untrained eye, that we might be able to handle that.
And Dave, we and I had a conversation on that, and that's you haven't given me a commit start date, but when do you think?
Probably next week we can start cleaning the small pile up.
Yeah.
And I would say, I mean, it looks disheveled in its current state, but I think that if we put some decent barriers up, I think better than what we have now and better than caution tape, it might be able to be open enough that you could watch the birds and things of that nature, but in its current state, it still looks pretty disheveled in my opinion. And I would be somewhat reluctant to say open it in its current state. But I think that if we have a plan moving forward to clean up some of that debris and really barrier off the areas where people might be able to go astray, especially, I mean, I think about myself as a younger person, that dirt mound is pretty appealing to me. So, I mean, things of that nature, I think we need to do a better job of saying, hey, look, you need to stay off. We can't prevent everything, but at least a little bit better than
and that's something too, to give the Public Works and of course get the police and their input as to what combination of like maybe snow fencing and caution tape and maybe more traditional fencing in certain places, what combination would make sense, assuming that what can be removed, it can be removed and will have to be dealt with. But and then also then if we have a in this same process have proposals for, okay, this will be number one, this will be the amount of cost, and number two, and so forth.
And what we did do, I guess it's been a couple months now, we did do an RFQ, or an RFP, excuse me, and we did receive two outside contractual vendors. It was actually broken down, if you will, a price for each of those five locations to finish the demolition. So that is in hand. That's another thing that we can consider as well as a tool to for some of the areas that I know that we don't have the manpower nor the equipment to do.
And that it wouldn't have to be all done at once.
No.
It could be done as we can afford to do it.
Correct.
Okay.
while we're on that location, how are we making out with the containers?
They're gone.
They're gone?
All containers that were down there, all storage tanks.
No, I mean the ones that are there for collection.
He's talking about the single stream recycling.
Single, yeah.
Okay. You're talking about the multiple containers that are over behind the mayor's house or the one single stream that we that citizens utilize?
The ones that the citizens
utilize. We have one. Again, if you didn't know, down at Heron Park, on the east side of the chain link fence, so you have to access it pretty much by croppers, there is a rather large roll-off down there that is available to all citizens of the town for single stream recycle. And Dave, it's being utilized to its fullest, am I correct?
Yes. I think there's two. Now,
what's that?
There's the one that's holding cardboard.
Yeah.
But that's a town dumpster.
That's a town
dumpster. Two.
Two
single streams.
Oh, I think that was from the holiday, though.
Yeah, and we did have, I got to give the man credit on something. Christmas week, he asked me, he says, what do you think about putting a second one out there? Because of, and Dave said it proved to be needed.
So. Good. But no abuse or anything?
Any abuse on it, Dave? Any abuse?
Yes, oh yeah.
There you go.
Okay, so this will be some information you'll be that you'll be advised for that I've seen a future meeting as soon as you get it.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right. What does that mean?
What's Martin?
Abuse.
Dave, give some of the examples of how that single stream is being abused.
How it's been abused, we had a Christmas tree in it and a recliner chair last week. It's nothing to find, logs, wood, tree branches, things like that in it. We just have to get in there and take them out. That's all we can do.
So just to review, like the acceptable off-the-cuff things that can be disposed of there while they're writing their story, if we could maybe highlight some of the things that are acceptable to put in the dumpster.
Paper, newspaper, cardboard, aluminum cans, glass bottles. That's about it.
What happens if the company comes to pick up the container and has those things?
They come once a week and empty it.
They will take it if it has those things
well,
like
that. It goes up to Delaware.
What I think Mr. Brigham is saying is if those items that are not supposed to be in there are there when they come to pick it up,
they take them out.
They take them
when
out.
When they get up there, if we don't take them out, they have to pick through it.
And then you have to go pick it up.
Right.
Okay.
And I think according to their agreement, can't they reject the load? And then we're charged for that, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. Also.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the abuse.
Yes. With the number of commercial buildings down there, is there any way that we could possibly look at cameras, security cameras, to find out who's the possibility of finding out who's dumping that? I mean, I'm sure some of it goes on at night, but there's lights on all the license plates that I know, and they shouldn't. I don't know. I'm thinking, does the big gym across the street, does Croppers have a security camera for their equipment and so forth? I would think they might. Possibility of looking into it.
This is not the only recycle spot we've ever had. They actually had it right in front of Public Works. We had cameras, and they dumped, and they dumped. And okay. It's very difficult if you don't know who the people are or the vehicles. You won't go ahead and see tags and those sort of things. But cameras anywhere will go ahead and be able to help you. The better resolution will help. But, again, they've definitely done that in the past.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Good suggestion.
I just say I'm there regularly, and the extent of the abuse, if you will, is not really that. Most of the times I've been there, it's been authorized materials, as far as I can see.
Good.
Thank you. All right. Next on item 5 on our agenda is discussion about establishing a loading and unloading zone on Pitt Street. This is particularly for what I call the overnight.
Excuse me, Mayor. What about the park?
We're going to continue to have the information come to us.
Okay, so we're not going to vote to open those?
No. The night was to find out if everybody was wanting to proceed there before we have everybody ask out of time.
Yep.
Okay.
this one, we're again looking for direction of but it's something some people may have heard of and others maybe the first time. Naturally, as we have so many more businesses downtown than we've ever had, and with the nature of overnight delivery and express delivery growing exponentially in its last 4 or 5 years, the number of times a UPS-type vehicle has to park in the street to be able to load and unload has increased significantly. It's not just in American Express, even our own postal folks, U.S. Postal folks. So now what we want to consider and recommend is having a loading and unloading zone there on Pitt Street, which is right in the heart of downtown, and that way one or two vehicles could pull up there. They could literally deliver, and I think Jeffy said that they've talked to some of these folks, and they think this is a great idea too, because then they don't have to move their vehicle for 3, 4, 5 times downtown. They can just park it and then make their deliveries on foot up and down Main Street and the side streets. So that's.
I'm going to let Ivy and the chief chime in on this. Please.
Sure. But I've been. Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have been working on this for the last several years, trying to figure out a place where our UPS and FedEx trucks could park and hand car some of their goods wherever they need to go. This is not meant for any of the food service trucks that usually deliver early in the mornings. But God forbid something happens. I've seen UPS trucks and FedEx trucks literally stop in the middle of Main Street, and then there's a line of cars that can't get by, and then they're trying to peek around. And I know that some of our ambassadors over the summer also witnessed this as well. So Ethan, who's our UPS driver, he and I spoke several months ago about this possible location. He actually recommended it be on Commerce Street right next to where Victorian Charm was. But then after meeting with Chief, he recommended this spot would be the best location for it. And our UPS driver is 100% for it. And I'm sure that I would meet with the FedEx driver and UPS or the USPS drivers as well for this spot. I also talk with Jeff's suggestion, talk with Randy Davis, who parks there for the carriage rides during the summer. So at first we had the loading and unloading zone set closer to the tree in front of Leech Butterfly. But after talking with Randy, it's really important that the horses stay there because there's a certain amount of breeze and air that the horses need, and if we move them, he's tried several locations, and that seems to be the best spot for them.
Also shade. Yeah.
Right, so what we decided to do was we shifted it back a little bit. Also, we wanted to be aware of the awning there also, just to make sure that everything was safe to put it there. And so after going a meeting with Jeff and with Chief, this was the final spot that we decided. So here we are tonight asking for approval to be able to designate that as a loading and unloading zone, which would mean there would be no parking there other than loading and unloading. And it would only get rid of one parking space right there in front of where Stewart's Antiques is and closer to where the other antique shop is. But that one parking space would still be there for Tony Stewart and by Bleach Butterfly and her shop.
So, I mean, parking space and towards Main Street, which also is with the horse carriage ride.
Correct. And Randy's not there all the times. And whenever he is there, I put up a temporary no parking sign so that everyone knows not to park there during that particular time when Randy's going to be there.
Have you spoken to all the business owners there on that side street?
I have not spoken to Tony Stewart about this yet. I wanted to see. But I did talk to Chief about that, though, and Chief could speak on that behalf.
I have a question.
Sure.
And I can understand. I can understand the concern about having FedEx and UPS impeding traffic downtown because I have been in those lines. But what consideration is being given to the public that just needs to come to use the ATM machine or run into the bank or run into Victoria Charms for 5 or 10 minutes? I do believe that there should be some consideration given to those folks that need those services just for a few minutes and provide some type of parking that is restricted by a number of minutes for those folks that may need to run into the bank.
I think that's a wonderful idea, and the first suggestion of having the loading and unloading zone on Commerce Street right next to Victorian Charm, I think that's a perfect location for 15-minute parking for two cars right there, because sometimes it's difficult to make that right turn when you're on Main Street to turn down Commerce. It's one way, but sometimes cars will park all the way up and you can't really see. But I would, I could make that recommendation also, where we have two parking spaces on Commerce right next to Victorian Charm. That's 15-minute parking only. During the daytime, obviously, the people who live in the apartments would want to park there in the evenings. But during the daytime, I think that's a wonderful idea. And it's centrally located.
Yeah. So is that something that basically you could propose as a, I'll call it, separate approval at the, maybe the next meeting?
Certainly.
The chief can have take a look and see where the designated area is. And again, accommodate a couple cars, because I have a feeling that the number of people, when it's needed, it's probably needed by more than one car at a time. But that at least is some accommodation, and I don't think it would interfere with the drive-in, which, you know, with people accessing the bank.
It won't affect that at all. It says something we won't be able to regulate. That's the first thing. So, again, the signs are the signs, and we have to look to the people who actually are parking there to go ahead and follow that. And that's no different than any other sign. So, just as long as you understand that. And put them in the strategic location, somewhere that's smart. Again, either say it's a need at a certain location, put it near wherever that location is. Don't have them all just in one spot. It's the thing. So, just, if you're going to put 15-minute parking, put them where you want to have them.
Well, I'll put it this way. What we're doing, again, to have you all take a look at it. Obviously, we can get squared away what we can. And then, you know, it's not an emergency, but it's something we certainly would want to get in place before the next, season, our guest season, which really gets in gear come April.
Are we looking for action on this tonight?
Yes. The short answer is yes.
I would ask that we almost go back to the drawing board and look a little bit more comprehensively, because when I see this spot, I see the alleyway that people come out. You've got a tricky intersection there already that's narrow. And then if you put a box truck there, and then this is a primary route for emergency vehicles to travel to the east side of town, I see a lot of complications in that intersection with this type of designated parking. So I would say go take another look back, maybe reach out to the fire department.
We have looked at this for several years. That's why the location on Commerce Street was the first one, and that's when I met with Chief, and this was pretty much the only location we could come.
And this spot that we're talking about is far enough west for that choke point where that tree is on the right, as you look at the screen. It's far enough west.
But I almost disagree, because if you put three vehicles there, like what you typically see on a busy day downtown, that intersection's already complicated. And then you throw a box truck or a FedEx truck or something in the mix, and then you try to send an emergency vehicle down that route, I think you're asking for a recipe for disaster. I
strongly disagree.
And I respect that, but I'm just saying.
Because this is something that is a practical solution. And the thing is, actually, I know you brought up at previous meetings last year the fact that the
express trucks were blocking traffic in downtown, and we said, okay, we're going to be looking into it, we'll come up with recommendations. And the thing is, we have very narrow streets. We have a problem now is with folks parking there that are not supposed to be parking there at all. So to me, it's a situation where let's make effective use of that property, solve a problem. I agree to totally typical comprehensive thing, but I don't see this spot becoming a secondary or the downside. It's just not a major factor. I'm just being very frank, because we don't have a town that's blocks. It's every angle except 90 degrees.
And I see what you're saying, but I mean, we've talked about Commerce Street, and Commerce Street is a street that you don't have that fast traffic movement, and it's not a huge issue to have vehicles parked on a box truck parked on the right-hand side. You can still travel safely down that one-way street, and Jefferson Street comes to mind as well. You have the store there on the right across from the hotel. It's a perfect spot where you wouldn't block any vantage points of a business. You could put a loading and unloading zone there, and it wouldn't obstruct any emergency vehicles or anything of that nature. I see more complications with that intersection.
Well, I guess we'll have to see.
And my motion is to table it and take a look a little bit more comprehensively and not putting a loading zone right there.
I like the location because it's more central in the center of town instead of being on one end of town, because it's not going to be utilize if it's on the end of the town. If I was a UPS driver, I'm not going to park down there and then truck it all the way up to the other end of town. This location is more central.
But just across the street, just across the street, you would have the same proximate location without a whole lot of the risk.
But I disagree with Commerce Street because of the drive-through.
Yeah.
Right, right.
I understand.
Chief, do you have any issues at all with this?
You bring it all the way up and Randy's moved, you have to have the open space. So, again, that's the best situation, but we understand that. So we're trying to accommodate people when we look at this. And, again, central location is going to be the best bet. When we had discussions with them previously, they're advising we do not want them on the main street and wanted them to go ahead and attempt to hop off on the side street real quick and do what they're going to go ahead and do. What we're realizing now, you're not letting two boxes off and leaving. We're actually talking about UPS that they're doing 80%, or one driver doing 80% of all his work inside the town of Berlin. And when you actually have that, then you know that they're going to be constantly here, and we have to go ahead and there and make the best use of space that we can. So, again, I think this is the perfect location. I think we get rid of the horse and the carriage, but we're trying to accommodate different things. So
I do have a suggestion of maybe at the horse and carriage because it's not all the time.
That's correct.
It's especially doing special events and things of that nature. Why not consider, and you all can get back to us and let us know, making that entire area which allows for a couple of vehicles to be there at the same time, which does happen, and then when it is time that Randy has a permit and is authorized to have his horse and carriage there, that then we understand no parking, he can pull it up there. No, be your best driver is going to come up there and tell him to move the horse and carriage.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
We have to be kind of reasonable there, is that all it's just trying to make it better, find a balance between what I believe is significantly increased amount of UPS-type traffic and deliveries, significantly more than there were even 3 or 4 years ago.
Is there enough room, Greg, right here, beside the building on the south side, where like Heart of Gold is, that flat front before you hit the Williams driveway to get, you see what I'm talking about, where Comcast used to be?
I think if you actually are putting them right there on Main Street when the cars come and they actually try to...
You're talking about Joe Hill, in front of Joe Hill's. One more time.
You're talking about in front of Joe Hill's, on the opposite side.
I believe so. You have that east.
More or less.
I'm not following.
Near where the Comcast office used
to be. Yeah, Comcast office.
Right there. Right?
Yeah.
But a little bit closer to the intersection.
Where the sidewalk kind of dips.
Yeah, and I think it's flat enough where you wouldn't be obstructing anybody's storefront. And it still is in this same proximate location. You're getting enough past the intersection that it's not an issue.
It's a driveway right on the other side that should be able to have enough space before you get to it.
Yeah. I mean, it's about the same size, right?
It's two cars there, but when we talk about the UPS, it should be able to go ahead. If you move those two cars, it should be able to fill that space.
And then when he's got his back open, he's up against, he's where the tree is, so he wouldn't get hit.
And it's open out of the way, and you're now able to see a good pathway around that intersection. And two spaces there are two spaces where we're looking currently. I don't see where it would make an issue.
Am I allowed to ask questions?
No, I gotta wait.
My question is this marked only UPS, FedEx, UPS? Okay, and is it only daytime hours?
Yes.
Okay, so the signs will indicate that. Because the only concern I had is the antique store, well, either down the street or across the street, depending. They have vendors that load and unload all the time, so I would be wondering if they would be allowed to use that space also.
One thing we know, they don't have to load and unload. They'll be there for half a day. Mm-hmm.
We talked about that. She and I talked about that. So
But it will be marked that it's not for them.
Yeah,
correct.
And they, you know,
postal deliveries only.
They've been working with us for some time using that driveway. That at one time was somewhat impeded, mm-hmm. and that's where a lot of the loading is supposed to happen. And, mm-hmm. normally does.
Right. Yeah. Well, I use the spot to visit the commercial spaces. I use the spot that you're talking about. It's most of the time it's open. It's very convenient when I come from Main Street, pull right in there. I can see the trucks utilizing that spot quite, you know, getting into that spot quite easily. The one on, in that picture on that side. Mm-hmm. Don't know if you want to make that change.
Oh, like I said, I defer all safety issues to the chief. I just wanted to find a spot where we could have a loading and unloading zone. So like I said, when I met with Ethan, our UPS driver, he recommended that spot on Commerce. And then when I met with Chief, we decided that it would be on that side. But I just want it off of Main Street. So I'm open to any suggestions as long as it's okay with Chief.
Can we hold off and talk about this again when they have a chance to go back to the drawing board?
Right. In other words, if you're saying after they look at...
Yeah, like maybe next meeting. Like I'm not saying like a long distant future. I'm saying like maybe take a look, see if it can accommodate a UPS and FedEx truck there on the, what I call the south side of that road.
And then
come back to us and let us know.
Is that okay with you, Arnold?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
No, just like the other discussion.
We've been talking for 10 years. Yeah.
Okay.
What's another week?
What's another day?
Okay. Next is our departmental reports. First is Finance Director Natalie Salee.
Good evening. A couple of things to discuss. We broach into the budget, and this particular year we move in faster than normal. We would like to have some things achieved a little bit earlier to load it off from the actual budget. So this week and next week, I'll be moving with department heads to discuss capital items and capital items only. And what I have asked everybody to put a list of items that absolutely must happen in fiscal 21 and the items that should happen that has some priority but we can potentially hold off till fiscal 22. So those were drafting these particular items. I have placed a budget schedule in front of you. I also emailed that, and after this meeting, if there is no changes or suggestions, we will upload that on the website. So I want to go over the schedule, and if you have any questions or suggestions, please let me know. So, next meeting, I will discuss 6 months budgeted versus actual data for our fiscal 20. It's not on the schedule, but I'm just letting it have to know. It's just going to be basically where we stand as of 6 months. And in the same day, January 27th, you will set a date to introduce birthday or review the possible tax rate. It could be the same, increased, etc. So the first item is January 27th at 7 o'clock. You will set the date for the real estate tax.
Well, isn't that when that's supposed to be done on March 9th?
Yes, the date will be set up.
Why would we do it twice?
Well,
I mean, we haven't even begun to discuss the tax rate. We haven't even had five words discussed. I don't understand why that has to be decided that night if we're going to have a discussion by March 9th.
No. January 27th, you will just say it out loud that the rate will be discussed on March the 9th.
Okay,
that's what I thought we were saying. We have to have a discussion here
before we can have a discussion.
You will announce the date, not the rate.
That wasn't clear.
Okay.
Right.
So you will set the date for the tax rate public hearing January 27th, and the date will be March the 9th. We will have plenty of time to talk about it. So work session, the next item is work session, February 10th at 6:30. It's right before the public meeting. That work session, I'm basically going to put rough draft of revenue projections, just the revenue for general fund. That's all. It's going to be a quick session, 30 minutes. We're just going to look how the revenue looked like. That's all.
And we'll do that from out here, right?
Yes. Yes, we will meet here. I mean, we can meet, you know, have to. It's basically informal meeting, but it's open before the public meeting. I don't want to go through that line by line, but basically we've fallen down the same procedure as every year. March 9th, we will introduce the rate. We will advertise in the newspaper, and then March 23rd, we will have a public hearing for rate adoption. So with that earlier schedule, it will allow us to have a good idea and understanding how we're going to go into general fund budget. And then going with that, we're going to be going into general fund work sessions, April the 6th, utilities work sessions, April the 20th. Then we will advertise. We will introduce the budget May 11th, advertise in the newspapers twice, and then we will have adoption of the budget May the 26th. And that will give me enough time because by June 1st, I have to submit all the paperwork to the county and the state.
Any questions about the proposed schedule?
Yeah. And so the public knows all work sessions that are indicated, that those are open meetings.
I have a question.
Sure.
Can we discuss a policy about reserves?
Yes. And that
before we start this, right? So is that something that we're looking at for the next meeting, or?
Jeff and I are working on the draft. The intent for the policy is very suitable for us, and I've looked at so many cities and towns around. And some cities have a couple of sentences, some cities have 25 pages long. So we're trying to come up to vary something reasonable and suitable, but I will do my best to present your draft probably during the budget, like work sessions. I mean, the reserve policy doesn't hold us for the budget.
But we can look at it somewhere in the beginning of this process.
Right.
Yeah, that's reasonable. That's good.
Thank you.
I think if we all know what that is, it certainly helps us make the other decision. Good. Very good. Any other questions for Natalie?
I just want to say one thing. Natalie and I today, as a matter of fact, had a discussion regarding that same comment that Zach had mentioned. And to Natalie's credit, she doesn't just want to throw something together and say, here. She wants to throw something together that's tailored and fits what she's experienced here in her years.
And we appreciate that. Thank you. There's a lot of work that goes into this that it doesn't do justice with just one sheet. So,
right. Good
job.
Okay, thanks. So if you okay with that, Mary will upload this so it will be available for public on the website.
Okay. Good. Is that everyone fine with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Go right ahead. Next.
Thank you.
Mary, can we the agenda on the screen?
Yes. actually, I'm up next. Yes. So
over the next, well, actually, first, you'll notice in the back of your packets are the revised meeting minutes from November 25th. That was a request that was made at the last meeting, which you'll recall was a little while ago, and Kelsey made those changes and added that just to have it out there. So that is available. Over the next 6 months, I'll say, probably starting in March, April, you're going to see a lot of ramping up in really, well, the nation as a whole, but in Worcester County in particular, regarding the 2020 census. The census, I'll be, over the next few months, I'll be getting into a lot of points about why the census is so important. But you're going to start seeing some variation of these logos around the county, incorporated into county letterheads and just various aspects of Board of Education, Worcester County Planning, Health Department, basically any agency you can just about think of that is impacted by the census, and you may even be surprised at some that are impacted by the census. But these logos will be out there to keep reminding people to fill the census out. At each meeting, I'm going to be providing a little more information about the census, and that will really gear up starting April 1st, and I believe that it runs through about July. Jeff, Dave Engelhardt, and I are all members of the county
Complete Count
Committee and are attending those meetings. At this point, they're at least on a monthly basis.
And the census actually takes place in which months?
It will start April 1st, will be the official kickoff date. It'll be out there and available prior to that, but April 1st will really be the date that they're going to be pushing it.
And the deadline is?
Yes.
At the deadline.
The start of it. And then it'll run through, I believe it's July 1st, thereabouts.
And with that said, if everyone would take a look at your screen, the bottom, well, first of all, Worcester County hasn't decided yet what final design there will be on their logos, if you will. But the bottom left, just envision that being a metallic, I call it a bumper sticker. Worcester County has ordered, or going to order, a sizable number of those, and they've asked that for every entity in Worcester County, governmental entity, to put these metallic advertisement, if you will, on vehicles. So what I'm going to look for from the mayor and council this evening is a motion to allow us to put something very similar to what you see in the bottom left on all of our vehicles for that period in which the census, the count runs.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Did I see something that said the census can be completed online?
Yes.
My suggestion would be that if you're looking at this Berlin, the one that has the Berlin logo, that you kind of shift that a little bit to one side, and I'm not a graphic designer, and put a QR code that links you directly to be able to take the census.
The QR code is actually something that the census, the U.S. Census Office is working on. It's not available quite yet.
If we could do that, I think that would be great.
You're talking about
bumper
stickers?
Yep, so you could just take your phone
But this is something the county would have.
Right, we are not designing these decals. The county.
Oh, maybe I was mistaken. I thought we were looking at designing the one with the Berlin logo on it.
No, these are just varieties of what you'll see. we'll see a variety of.
It's a good suggestion. It's just one thing the county would have to do everywhere, which is.
And they are planning on incorporating that QR code once it's set.
Okay. I thought you were looking to make one for Berlin.
Now, these are all being, the county got grant money to do this, and I forget the 2,500 or so of these decals are what they want, and they really want to get the word out. Mary will, as she mentioned, she will follow up and get more specific details, but I know the gentleman and the lady both from the U.S. Census Bureau have made it very clear that, believe it or not, April Fool's Day is the day that things start. That's what they said. They said that's sticking people's minds.
Yep.
And I'm not going to get into all the details, but you can do your count on the phone. You can do it on the internet. You can do it by mail. And if you don't do all those things, again, I'll let her get into those details down the road, but if you don't respond to, they have a methodical approach, and if you don't respond, then what happens is you get a knock on the door. And that said, I know that Worcester County and the U.S. Census Bureau both said that they're having a real challenge this year in getting the help that they need to be census takers.
Yeah, they have jobs.
Yep.
For those interested, they have jobs.
Yep. So a lot to follow, but again, Mary will get into more down the road. A lot is at stake with this. If I remember correctly, the figure per person over a 10-year is $17,000 or $18,000.
$18,000. The estimate is that for each person who does not complete their sentence, the local agencies lose about $18,000.
Per person.
Per person.
So if it's 100 people, that's $1.8 million. And that's money that, you know, they stress. It's federal dollars that we could have in Worcester County. Just want to stress this for the public consumption. For health care, for education, for police, for fire, for roads, all these, it's federal dollars that could come into Worcester County and the state of Maryland. Just if we can get that much closer to 100% of the people counted, and none of the counties really do. And it amazes me how far off they were when we got these statistics in the meetings we've been going to. So, I would encourage anyone to tell everybody, you must do this. And, you know, now the outreach is starting. These stickers and things are the start of it for, you know, we've had all kinds of strategy meetings when we go to these meetings in Snow Hill for how we're going to do the outreach, you know, through the church groups, through the school groups, through the hospital. So it's important that if you can stress it to whoever that, and take it. Online's the easiest way. Some of the events, they're going to try and give us a laptop so that we can say, Mr. Lawrence, please take the census while you're standing with me here at this event. We're going to try and do that here in Berlin.
And then the alarming thing, I don't have the figures in front of me, but overall, Worcester County and Berlin were extremely low within the state of Maryland in the last census.
Yeah, we don't rank very well.
I make a motion that the town be allowed to put those stickers on the town vehicles.
No re-election stickers now.
All in favor of Council Brigham's motion to authorize the town administrator to put italic stickers on all town vehicles promoting 2020 census. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed?
Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't know where you're going with that motion.
It is. I've been reading that rural areas in general are where the undercounts are worse nationwide. And unfortunately, Worcester is one of those areas that was undercounted 10 years ago.
And can you share, it doesn't have to be tonight, but like a summary of some of those statistics so that we can have an idea of where we're at?
Over the coming months at each meeting, I'm going to be providing a little more information about a lot of things about the census, all things census.
Thank you. Next is Water Resources Director Jamie Latchin.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. We've been replacing some water meters. And we've been working on, for some reason, it seems like it's been the week of sewer blockages, so we've had quite a few here lately. And just trying to get all these nice warm days, get some lift stations cleaned and some maintenance done outside. That's all I have.
Graham Avenue is complete.
It's completed, but we'll have to go back this spring because there's some washouts and some stuff that's underneath the netting, and the grass hasn't taken up completely. So there'll be just a little bit of work, probably a couple hours. You know, maybe a day, a couple of us out there doing some regrading and stuff like that.
And also, as part of the actual grants, the Coastal Bays will be coming back and doing the planting that was more appropriate to do in the spring rather than in the fall.
Yeah. And again, maybe someone can get some pictures so we can show them at a meeting shortly after.
Yeah.
And the unappealing thing down there is the silt that sits up, but they can't come out until the ground stabilized.
Right.
Okay.
Next is electric utility director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have a few things to report on. Over at the Berlin Ice Plant, they requested last week that we shut the power down to the plant for a new roof that's being installed. So that gave us an opportunity to basically rebuild the existing pole that's there that feeds the ice plant. So we rebuilt the entire top side of the pole and the transformers. Basically upgraded the metering and everything to today's standards. So that was a good opportunity to do that. They're also still working there for this week. That all depends on the weather that's going on with the rain. Then also at Branch Street, we ended up replacing a rotten pole over there. And then 223 Graham Avenue, that's that new house next to Berlin Intermediate School. We installed a new underground service there. And then also throughout town, there's four homes that I know of that are under construction right now, which are all going to be underground services. They're all in various stages right now. But they haven't requested that the services be installed yet because they're not at that point. So we're kind of waiting on them to get to that point and we'll install the services. I'd like to bring everybody up to date on the power plant, on the installation of the new natural gas engine. We received some good news last week. Originally, the new engine was supposed to be delivered near the end of May or June. It's actually going to be here in April. They requested to install it into the building so it's not sitting outside, which will accommodate that. But it won't be up and running in April. They're just going to deliver it. And then they got to connect it and run all the gas lines and piping and all that stuff. So we're going to be a little bit ahead of schedule.
Very good.
Thank you.
Mayor, I'd like for Tim just to give you an update on a major investment that you all made happen about a year and a half ago. We hired two linesmen apprentices. I'll let Tim fill in the blanks, but they just got back from school.
That's correct. We have two lineman apprentices. Basically, there's eight steps of the lineman training program over a four-year period. They actually completed, they didn't really complete it. Step two is the book side of it, where they actually go to school. They completed that, but they have on-job testing that they have to do, and then also there's some written tests that have to be completed to finish step two of an eight-step program. But they did finish the school part of it last Friday.
Okay. Pleased with the progress?
Yes, sir, definitely. They're both outstanding employees.
Thank you.
They look like they're fitting in well with all the employees at the Christmas party. They definitely are the life of the party.
Yeah, they are the life of the party.
But in a good way.
Yes, that's correct.
Next is then Police Chief Arnold Downing.
Good evening, everyone. First and foremost, we wish to send prayers to Fruitland Police Department and the loss of their Officer Spencer Weinsberg and his year-long battle with cancer, and in honor and respect of him, we'll be flagging, lowering our flag for the next 30 days, and we will be out there wearing the mourning shrouds. So again, we are definitely here to support them, you know, in this time, and whatever they choose to do with the arrangements, we're definitely trying to be a part of that this week, and that's something that we're planning on. With the agency itself, we had opportunity to go ahead and complete all our in-service and weapon training and get it all to the training commission well advanced of our times that we usually do, and they've reported everything came back sufficient. So we're very proud of that, and we're very glad that we made it through the holiday season. We have had a lot of cooperation to get there, and we want to thank the Sheriff's Office, State Police for all the events that we did have and for the officers that they did send. And for, again, even Ocean City, and Pocomoke for the praise themselves. So, again, we can't do it by ourselves, and we definitely appreciate all the guys that actually have to come and assist us when we need them. And we say thank you. That's my report.
Any questions for the Chief? Next is Planning Director Dave Englehart.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I just wanted to, upcoming, we've
at one of our mayor and council meetings. I believe it'll be one of the meetings in February, maybe this the last meeting in February. There'll be a public hearing of the mayor and council to take up the recommendation of the Planning Commission to approve the annexation for the old McDonald's and the Myers Tool Rental. Planning Commission made that recommendation. They passed a motion at their December 11th meeting. There's a period where the Maryland Department of Planning and the county have 30 days to comment. That should be ending shortly. And then after that, I'm allowed to go ahead and advertise for the public hearing. So Mr. Fleetwood and myself will work on that for the calendar once I hear back from planning and the county, from Worcester County. I'd just like to get that out there early so people are aware that that was published in the paper that we had that approval of the Planning Commission. That's a recommendation to your body, and then we need to have another public hearing to actually approve that annexation. So I'd like to get it out early. And some more good news. We talked about at the end of last year that we had a good number of single-family home permits last year, 10 new ones. Well, just last week I got the first two new ones for this year, so we've got two more. And in less than a year's time now, we've got 12 new single-family homes on infill lots in town, lots that already had services. So I think that's a good trend. I think it's a healthy trend. So that's my report.
Good. Thank you. Any questions for Dave? Next is Economic and Community Development Director Ivy Wells.
Just in that short amount of time, I contacted Ethan from UPS, and he likes that spot very much. So if it works with Chief, then I think that we'll go ahead and present that for next meeting. Okay. So that works well. So thanks for bringing that up. It's always good to get it's hard sometimes to try to, you know, Chief said that we've been working on this for the past 10-plus years, and, you know, obviously it takes a long time to figure something like this out. So hopefully we'll get that in place, the new location, because I know that it's become a safety issue. So anyway, moving right along, this is our first meeting of the new year, and I didn't get to say thank you to everyone who helped with both of our New Year's Eve activities this past year. So definitely thank you to our law enforcement and utility guys, Dave Wheaton and Tim and just everyone. I think that our kids' celebration was larger than our midnight celebration. There were so many families, young families there, and everyone seemed to like the fact that they could bring their kids down, have a celebration, and then go home. With that said, the Berlin Chamber of Commerce gave us a check for $1,500 as a donation for that evening for Berlin Main Street. So I wanted to bring that up. And I thank them very much. And also Emily Hartigold Kids sponsored the cowbells this year instead of all the trash that we had to do. I'm sure Dave Wheaton appreciated that. No bubble wrap stomping this year. So this week is Restaurant Week. The menus are posted on BerlinMainStreet.com, and also I printed them out, and they are on the Welcome Center. And my assistant Allison is on a cross-country trek, so she is not coming back until the end of this month. So you just got me for the next 3 weeks, so be gentle. There's been some businesses, some rumors of businesses coming to town. So the Dusty Lamb is moving their location to a larger spot where Yummy Puppy has now vacated the building. And the Dusty Lamb is moving in that location. Right next to that location, there's a small door in between the yarn store and where Yummy Puppy was. That is where Dolly's Candyland is going. So we'll have another candy shop, or a new candy shop, going there. Also working with Samantha and Mr. Burbage on those two other locations. There's a lot of interest just trying to find the right fit for those two locations. And I will be attending in Cambridge a grant meeting, MHAA, Maryland Historic Trust Grant session this week. And I've also encouraged the board of the museum to go because most of the grants pertain to them. So I think that maybe Donna Main and maybe Melissa could send a representative there, because I know that the museum needs a new roof. They are working on a grant for that, but I'm working with them. They also need some things done with the brick foundation. So hopefully I offer my assistance to the folks over at the museum for that. And that's it.
Good. I mentioned that wrote a letter of support right after the years for the grant for the Fairborn Heritage Foundation from the Taylor House Museum.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was pleased to do it, and I'm just glad they gave us an opportunity so that we could explain how important that organization is to our historic town.
Agreed.
Okay, good. Any questions for Avi? Okay. Thank you. And again, congratulations on all the holiday seasonal events, from the tree lighting all the way through New Year's. Next is the town administrator's report.
Mayor, I have just a couple things. I do want to thank Dave Wheaton. Raise your hand, Dave, please. Dave is our public works superintendent. He dresses up well. I'm glad you made it today, Dave. And just one more thing. Tomorrow morning from 10:30 till 12:30, the identity theft presentation will take place in this chamber. Again, this is open to anyone and everyone. So please come if you're able, and spread the word. That's all I have, Mayor.
Thank you. I don't have any comments.
Just real quick, Samantha, I want to thank you and the birds. That building looks amazing after what you guys have done. And I know it's been you and not Jack. It really does look good. And hopefully you get your awnings that you want it. I hope
See.
You do. So, but thank you. It looks great. That's all.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I'd like to just say thank you for the cake again. No, but I am going to grab a piece when we're done, and that's pretty cool. They were able to incorporate the photo.
Thanks for the cake, but I got blood work in the morning.
Gotta make sure it's still there, right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'd just like to say thanks to Marvin and his staff for the cake. That sentiment is greatly appreciated.
I do have any comments or anything from the folks in attendance tonight. Do you have any comments or questions from the press?
Move to adjourn.
Okay, I'm standing adjourned. Thank you very much for your attention.